We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy.
With all this mess, the radio is the only thing that's really working good.
Stop spending!
Welcome to the dawn of a new unified Republican government.
They can run the okey-doke on you, bamboozle you.
We are not enemies, but friends.
So we finally have this God that's going to come down and help us all.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You just referred to Trump as a God.
Yeah.
On KMOX.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
Friday afternoon, the weekend is finally here. Jane Duker with me in the studio. We have a roundtable panel assembling in the green room. In fact, one of the members I invited in here just a little earlier. How are you, Jane?
I am doing good. It's too cold, but other than that, I'm doing good.
The memo is released, and we're going to get to that. Well, I know you're going to poo-poo this thing, but Rodney Davis, Illinois congressman, member of Congress who read this memo before the release, will have something to say. But before that, let's get to the wager that we placed early in the football season. Congressman, how are you?
I'm not doing too well right now, if your listeners could see me.
You have a beautiful, lovely red and yellow and white Kansas City Chiefs jersey on because we have a standing bet for the season when the Chiefs play the Raiders. Unfortunately, I had to don a Raiders jersey and a helmet, and it made me a little sick to my stomach when the Raiders won that first game, even though they shouldn't have against the Chiefs. The Chiefs got them back late in the season. This is your first trip into KMOX, so you're wearing the jersey today, and we'll wear it through the roundtable.
Absolutely.
And we get to post it on social media, right?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately for me, I'm actually feeling a little nauseous right now.
It's a good color on you, though, I think.
Oh, I don't think so.
The worst part about it is not that it's a Chiefs jersey. It's that it has your name on it. If it says Reardon, that I think is the part that's going to be very difficult to stomach on social media. But we're going to post it.
It could have any name on the back. It's a Chiefs jersey.
It's just the color. Look, he feels the same way as I do about the Raiders. Yeah, I think he'll be okay. Yeah.
I'm all right.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about this afternoon on the roundtable. Jane, on the topic of the Super Bowl, Roddy, are you rooting for anyone this weekend or do you care?
You know, I still harbor some ill feelings toward the Patriots because of the Tuck rule.
Right.
Rule,
I think we're all on the same page
rule
there.
Anymore. So I am rooting for the Eagles. I want Nick Foles, the underdog, to win.
Ram.
I think it would have been awesome to have Jacksonville and Philadelphia in there just, you know, for something different. But I'm rooting for the
Patriots.
Eagles, too, for sure.
Anybody but the Patriots.
Which means the Patriots will probably win.
Yeah, I think that is what it means.
It just means Satan is alive and well.
Mitch Holtis, the voice of, who does he do the play-by-play for? Jan, I forget. Is it the Raiders?
The red jersey?
Oh, the Chiefs!
Chiefs.
Mitch is the Chiefs guy. That's right. Chiefs. What a coincidence. He's going to join us this afternoon.
Shocking, I never
Super Bowl
heard him.
Preview.
Should we make him sit through that, too, just to reinforce?
Yeah, you should have to stay, very least, listen to that when we get to the... Well, both of us don't have a lot to say right now, because in the last 2 years, the Raiders had high hopes last year, the Chiefs high hopes this year,
and neither
team made it to the playoffs. Although I think Chucky, as your coach, is going to be really good.
Well, and I think you guys traded your quarterback away. Maybe in a couple years, but I wouldn't have done it that soon.
And I don't know if I would have either, but we're going to take a break. Brian Wobbe's going to join us. Rodney Davis, Illinois Congressman, Jane Duker, the memo has been released. We'll get into that and a whole bunch of other topics here on a Friday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show. The Reardon Roundtable is coming up next.
It's what we've been waiting for.
It's Friday.
Friday.
TGIF. And that can only mean one thing.
The weekend is landing.
It's time for the Reardon Roundtable.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, here's your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
All right, let's get going here. Jane Duker in the house for this Friday afternoon. How are you, Jane?
I am doing good and happy to post that poor picture of the congressman with your name on his back.
Awesome. It is awesome.
He doesn't deserve it. No matter what party he's in, he does not deserve to have to wear your name on the back of his jersey, but that's okay.
That's what happens when you lose a bet, right? Rodney, how are you?
You're
welcome back here.
With that.
Don't gamble, children. Don't gamble.
The other voice in the background there is Brian Wobbe, veteran of the roundtable. How are you?
If I were any better, it'd probably be illegal.
Any time we've ever had Brian on the roundtable over the course of, what, 8 years now, probably?
Something like that.
Every day he comes in. What are we talking about? Same thing today.
But I mean, but
what are we talking
about?
What are the topics? Why do I keep having him back?
Because it's funny to say, what are the topics?
All right, it's my shtick. You get it?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I'm a little worried. Let's get right into it, though. Congressman, you read this memo that was released today, declassified before it was released to the public and to the media. Yeah. What's your take on what's happening today and what's the next step moving forward?
Well, look, I read the memo, and I wish I could have talked about it after I read it, because I think it wouldn't have been nearly as anticlimactic to some as I think is what the release has shown all of us. A lot of it is stuff we've probably already heard, but I think it is pretty telling that there's been such a fight put up by Democrats to stop the American people from being the true adjudicators of whether or not this should be out there. I think we should release more documentation that's been scrubbed for top secret material, get it out into the American public, let them decide what should be going on at our FBI and every federal agency.
But do you
and
think
Congress.
That the release of this memo did not match the hype? Is that one of the things I'm hearing you say?
I don't think the release of any memo at this point in time after all the hype would ever reach the hype.
Especially when you have an investigation that's continuing. I mean, we don't know. Yep. That was the one thing that bothers me about this memo is there's a lot of assertions, but not a lot of evidence. And eventually, I'm assuming that the investigation will conclude. And
there are standards. There are standards for a court. There are standards that we have. This memo and its release was designed to tear those standards down.
I don't think so at all.
Why is it designed to tear the standards down and not expose possible serious questions at the FBI? Look, I don't care what kind of the side of the aisle you're on. I think there should be an agreement that if, in fact, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but I think we have to find out that if there was a FISA warrant that was issued by the court, and one thing that I will say is the new information in here, at least for me, is that there were three renewals of that warrant. So that mm-hmm. means there was other additional, in theory, other additional information that came up along the way. But if that warrant, or at least part of that, was done because of a dossier that was created and funded by your party,
Republican.
By the Democrats.
No. It initially
cut
started.
That off. The Democrats spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
After the Republicans.
After they took,
well,
they
so
took,
who so cares?
The, so
you know what? Law enforcement get tips from people all the time who have access to grind. That's nothing new. There was a court involved. And the bottom line is what this memo does not do is tell us what was in the FISA warrant. So to say whether the FISA warrant was warranted or not, you would have to actually see what was applied. For. They may not have relied on the dossier at all.
It's amazing to me.
But, Jane, what if they did? What if they did?
Well, then we will find that out.
Then we should find out. But you're acting like that's not even a legitimate line of questioning to find out whether that happened.
I think
it's pretty serious.
This whole nonsense of doing a memo before you know the facts, you know, and especially when you won't allow the Democrats to release their side of the memo, their side of the story out, is a little suspicious.
That's not true. That's not true. Because it's got to go through the same process, Jane. There's a process. No, there's a process. Set by law, there's a process set by law that this memo went through. It was scrubbed. It made sure that it had the proper time of viewing, the proper procedures to take a vote. The Democrats have a 10-page memo that's sitting there going through the same process now. I'm for releasing more information. Since when since when did Democrats not be the party of civil liberties in transparency? Because to me, I'd like to release even more of the underlying intelligence. Let's make sure that it is scrubbed for top secret material. Let's make sure we don't put any law enforcement official in harm's way. But starting with this 4-page memo is not the crisis that the Democrats want it to be. Frankly, it's what the American people should demand.
I think so, too. Now, if Carter Page, who was under investigation here and the subject of the warrant, if there was very good reason to look at him and his actions, then hopefully we'll find that out.
And
but
we will.
If we had months, and again, this goes back to hopefully bipartisanship, if we had months of wiretapping into this guy and some of it or a good portion of it was based on this dossier, which was created just to help the Clinton campaign, essentially. In the end, it was. Why isn't that a serious question? Why is it not a legitimate issue for us to wonder if the Justice Department, the FBI, and this investigation was focused on a guy, and we snooped on a guy and listened to his conversations, maybe there was good cause there. But if there wasn't, that is a big, big story.
It went through a FISA court.
Absolutely. And if you didn't like the process, it was just reauthorized.
Right.
And if you don't think that there's enough evidence, or if you want a higher standard to go before a court, then you need to change the law and say we need a higher standard.
And this constant obstruction of this process.
I'm all for it all coming out, but I want everything to come out. You shouldn't leak for political purposes.
And driving a narrative.
And I don't speak to you.
This is political purposes.
I absolutely believe it's political purposes.
And beyond.
It's to give the right wing some ammunition to discredit the investigation. I mean, they want to discredit Mueller. I mean, Jesus, the president of the United States wanted to fire Robert Mueller, but for White House counsel saying, dude, I'm quitting if you do this.
Well, here's what I'll tell you.
Backs
so
off the
far,
deal.
We have the Russian collaboration investigation, and you have this issue. There's some crossover there. What has yet to be shown to the American people in both of those situations, I would argue this is a lot more serious at this point. We have no evidence of collusion whatsoever. We do have evidence that this dossier was used.
We have two high-level Trump campaign people who have pled guilty to federal charges.
In no way, shape, or form did that prove Russian collusion
in the election.
Look, we don't
or
know
any connection
proved,
to Donald Trump. By the way,
here's what we know: Michael Flynn on this show. By the way, I want to point out, I knew he was a problem when he got appointed, and I was on air finding the file. But this guy pled guilty to a very minor charge.
Because
and he says, I will cooperate. Charge me for something small and don't charge my kid, who's also dirty, and I will start singing. And let me tell you, he's got to be singing right now.
I really hope Carter Page's lawyer is telling him to shut his mouth, because this guy gets on TV and says stuff, and I'm like, and I don't know why, I guess from a political standpoint, that Devin Nunes, who I've got, I mean, I like a lot of Republicans, and I like you, but I got no use. I'm at this congressman. He's honest. He's, you know, I got nothing for this Devin Nunes guy.
You know, I've asked Republicans this question. I try to apply this standard, you know, equally to both parties. But you guys cannot sit here with a straight face, you and Brian both, and say if this exact information had come out about the Clinton administration. And there were out.
Remember?
No,
yeah,
listen,
remember
there were
did.
Out. In other words, there were allegations. No. The same allegations that the Republicans paid all this money for a dossier to take down Hillary Clinton, and the Justice Department or members of the department were complicit in that. That is a scandal and a big one. If in fact that's what happened, you'd be complaining about that. You'd be sitting here saying, "Release all the information. Release the memo. We got to go after the Republicans."
Well, let's develop a standard between everybody and agree to it.
Well, this is the deal. If the dossier is not enough without real evidence to support a prosecution. And if Carter Page was doing what people think he was doing and why he was probably under suspicion in the first place, then they will find him and that evidence will come out. So whether this dossier supported or not supported, I'm assuming sometime we'll find out. I agree with you that it all should come out, but I don't think it's fair to take a slanted memo that's political and not release the other side.
Let me ask this question. Why are you convinced, and I know that this is being sold on CNN and elsewhere, is just a clear effort on the part of the Trump administration and Republicans to derail the Mueller investigation. But what we learned from this particular memo specifically is that it confirms that the FBI investigation began with Papadopoulos, and I'm supposed to do the drinking game here if we, before the FISA application targeting Page. So that was already underway before this was targeting Page. I'm not saying you can separate the two things out, but there are questions certainly that apply to the FISA warrant that may really have nothing to do with what's going on with the Mueller investigation, or at least not the focus of the investigation. We don't know that.
Exactly. That's why would you put out a half-baked memo when you don't know all the facts yet?
Here's the facts. Number one, I disagree with you on Devin Nunes. I think he's a fine member of Congress and a fine gentleman, a fine friend, and he's doing what he should do as chair of the Intelligence Committee. If you listen to Trey Gowdy, another fine public servant, this is a compilation of thousands of pages that have been submitted to the committees of jurisdiction where clear evidence shows that the American people deserve to be shown whether or not there are FISA court abuses by our law enforcement agencies. The American people should be the judge.
Don't you want to find that out, Wobby?
I do. And actually, I think, here's the way I want to.
I don't understand why Democrats don't want to expose any possible FISA court abuses. Just a few years ago, I was told, oh, no, don't reauthorize FISA because there are so many abuses by the FBI and our civil liberties are being destroyed. No, now we have clear evidence that there was.
No, we don't have clear evidence.
Look at that memo.
Well, look, and here's the deal. Here's what we ought to happen. Republicans and Democrats on this committee should put aside partisan positions.
That means
everybody too. Well, I mean, then don't release a memo on a partisan vote.
So you don't want to be more transparent to the American people?
I think everybody should agree like the Senate's doing.
Do it.
The
do
Senate
it
seems
bipartisan.
To be able to get it together
is,
on a bipartisan.
We're talking about our country and what
exactly.
And I appreciate it.
Yes,
I know you, and I know you believe that. But we ought to be civil and decide what is important. Where is justice? What is justice? And then work together to deliver. But to make this entire process as partisan as it is. It does justice no service.
If you were a member of Congress, Brian, if you were a member of Congress, would you have gone down and read that 4-page memo?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we find out how many Democrats?
Because you have responsibility.
Let's find out how many did.
I'm a citizen.
Let's find out how many did.
And
I would doubt. I would doubt.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, thanks. I would doubt that many Democrat members of Congress went down and read.
I'm sure they did. I'll find a few.
I'm sure Adam Schiff. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Schiff, the biggest media whore on the planet. By the way, you want to talk about partisanship and bipartisanship? He's the guy that's the cause of a lot of this right now, because there's not a moment where he's not trying to get on CNN and make political. Hey, we got to take a break. It's the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday. Congressman Rodney Davis sporting a beautiful Kansas City Chiefs jersey because he lost his bet to me on the Raiders game. Brian Wobbe, misguided as usual, and his partner in crime, Jane Duker. We're back in a moment.
Now, back to the Reardon Roundtable. Once again, your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
Jane Duker, Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis, Brian Wobbe, all on the panel. Brian, let's mention this before we get to the topics. Mardi Gras sort of kicking off this weekend, the big pep parade. You're involved with Mardi Gras, Inc. And yeah, right.
Kicking off for a couple of months now, I've had quite a few beers. Not today.
I was like, wait, was there beer that I didn't know about?
On my way home. We're you know, St. Louis's biggest party is right around the corner. We'll have the big parade next weekend. We've got the 5K run tomorrow morning. I'll be there running. Will you be there, Mark?
I will not be. I am not a runner.
I'll be there, but I won't be running.
I will be at the pep parade, though, on Sunday with my daughter, and that's always a fun time.
Right? It's always good to see you and your wife and your daughter.
I'm surprised you included me in that grouping, actually.
if it gets us to Becky and Alexa, well, yes, then.
And then next weekend, the Mayor's Ball Friday night, and then the Grand Parade on Saturday in Soulard. Come on down, everybody. We get to throw, I told the interns, you guys get to throw the biggest party in St. Louis, so let's go throw it.
Yeah, complete sobriety, too, from start to finish is what we usually look forward to during Mardi Gras weekend. Brian, I'm going to start with you on this next topic.
Oh, what is it?
The economy is rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
You have so many businesses that are handing out bonuses and raises to employees. There's a new projection by the Fed in Atlanta that we're projected toward 5% economic growth. Of course, the first quarter probably somewhere in the twos, and then that's a lot better than the Obama administration had performed through much of its 8 years, and I know you want to blame that on George W. Bush. And the president gave a very optimistic, positive State of the Union address this week, but I'm certain that you and Jane will find some way to rain on that rosy parade. So go ahead.
Well, you know, actually, Mardi Gras is really a metaphor for the economy, because let the good times roll, baby. Ash Wednesday's coming.
I'm glad you're positive about the economy. That's awesome to hear that.
Let the good times roll, because Ash Wednesday, we start fasting. And the question is, when is Ash Wednesday? And I think I can't see it right now, but we were down, the Dow was down 600 points today. There is a real concern among economists that things are overheating. And of course, you know, let's let the good times roll, but it's time to govern the economy. And I know that my friend over here to sitting to my left will probably disagree, but I think I'm a little concerned about what's happening in the equities market, and I think we're going to see things slow down.
Okay, I just want to put this into perspective for the audience, because this is the same guy that for the past 8 or 9 years with me on Twitter has fought every time there was a GDP release. And I would point out that this was barely above a recession. And in fact, there were a couple of times we dipped below zero for GDP. Winter was already blamed. So here we are. We had winter again this year. And the Fed in Atlanta says maybe 5% growth for the first quarter. If we're at 2.63% growth for the quarter, it's still winter. You guys don't have that excuse to fall back on.
I will tell you that that releasing, cutting taxes and lowering regulations allows for a much more robust growth cycle. The question is how fast do we grow things? Because
Can't you be happy about what's happening right now?
Absolutely, I'm happy right now. Great. Wow. We have to be prepared for what comes next. And the drunken abandonment that we have when the Republicans are in control and you guys are in control, just remember when it all falls apart, it's your fault. And then guess what happens? You guys did this back in 2008, as I recall. It was all good old high times, everything, and then it busted. And then who had to come fix it? The Democrats. We come in, we clean up the house, and then ready for your next party.
Wow.
By the way, just before you go, we should mention that the Dow was way down today.
It's way down.
2.3%. But I know you guys want to focus on that. No. But we just hit 26,000. Yeah, there's a slight correction going on this week, and it's down slightly. But people, all you have to do, if you're a listener out there and people have done it, is look at your 401k for the past year and how much it grew in 2017 compared to the previous years. Obviously, 16, I think it was ramping up a little bit. I'm not going to put it all on Donald Trump. Right. There's no doubt that we were in recovery mode before he took office, but Congressman Davis.
And his policies have supercharged things.
It's nice to be part of the branch of government that was in power under Obama and now, so we can take credit for all of the good economic growth. Now, it always scares me when a Democrat talks about tinkering with the economy when we're at historic Dow gains. And I never thought Republicans were the party of optimism and partying and having fun and making sure we believe in tomorrow. Tell every college student in America that you are now a Republican because Democrats like Wabi are all they're on the wagon. They're hanging out at Betty Ford over economic issues.
I'm not on the wagon.
We want.
I can confirm that.
We can smell that, right?
Yeah, right.
That's okay. Hey, but in the end, you've got to look at this bill and you've got to see these wildly conservative companies like Starbucks and Apple saying they're going to invest billions back in the American economy because they now know it's more competitive for them on a global scale. This is exactly what we've promised. This is exactly what we need to do for the future and keep this growth going.
Jay Duker. Poo-poo this economy like you always
deficit
do.
Deficit spending.
Oh, something you were so concerned. I can't. Oh,
absolutely.
I remember all the times that you expressed the fear of deficit spending
something
when Obama was in office.
This. There is a pie, okay? And the pie, the federal budget, when you take away money from the federal budget, it has to be cut somewhere. We have not paid the piper.
Good. Let's cut.
Exactly. But where? They haven't had
welcome to Missouri.
Well, yeah, exactly. And this is the problem. I mean, so now we've given the money away and we haven't found where we're going to pay for it. And so that has to come. And so if you're going to have the creativity to give the money away, then you have to have the creativity to cut it.
Okay. And that's a legitimate question. And on that note, let's segue into something else. Let's go back to the State of the Union. And I think there would be relative agreement, bipartisan agreement, that this country is in desperate need of some infrastructure help. And the president talked about it the other night. But if you spend $1 trillion or $1.5 trillion, it's probably going to take that on infrastructure. That's going to cut into the deficit even more. So what do you do there, Congressman Davis, when it comes to the budgeting aspects of what the president is putting forward here, including the wall?
If you close your eyes and just listen to that address in any generic voice, and you heard the president talk about a fix for the DACA kids to put them on a path to citizenship, if you would have heard a president talk about infrastructure investment of leveraging up to $1.5 trillion, you would have thought, boy, this might be Barack Obama. This might be Ronald Reagan. No, it was Donald Trump.
Eloquent.
And you know what, Noah? I thought he was pretty eloquent the other night. And I've sat through a lot of those State of the Unions, and I've been lectured at those State of the Unions, and I certainly was not lectured the other night. $1.5 trillion investment in infrastructure is talking about leveraged funds, too. That means public-private partnerships, asset recycling. These are projects like the Merchants Bridge that here in St. Louis that, you know, make St. Louis the artery of freight movement throughout this country. These are the types of projects that can be leveraged up into and be put at the front of the line for infrastructure investments like the president's talking about. That's what it means to St. Louis. That's what it means to our region. And that's what it means to job creation here.
Absolutely. I'm concerned. I mean, he got the tax bill done, which was, that was quite an accomplishment. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he's going to get immigration done. I don't know how he's going to get infrastructure done. There's a lot of moving parts there. And it's great to talk about it. But one, it's not paid for. Two, there's really no path.
There's no bill. You don't know what it looks like.
Well, I know it's going to be $1 trillion or however many.
A trillion and a half.
$1.5 trillion. I mean, where is that going to be paid for?
Some of it may be leveraged with private money.
What was the stimulus bill? It was borrow $1 trillion. And
the economy was in free
invest,
for all. Free
and
fall.
It didn't help.
It didn't help at all.
Infrastructure.
Just tell the guys Solyndra, that work
banks got rich off of it.
Chevy
that was
and
not
Ford,
the stimulus bill.
We're still
that
in
was
business.
Not ERA. That was not the $1 trillion. That was the other bailout. But what they did is they
borrowed
$1 trillion.
You guys are forgetting about the shovel-ready jobs that never came.
Borrowed
that's what Roddy's referring to.
And invested 6% in infrastructure, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's we still need the infrastructure.
All right, hang on. Take another break here. Coming back with more Illinois Congressman Roddy Davis, Brian Wobbe, who is obviously not prepared for the roundtable again this week, and Jay Duker
He's
coming
drunk.
Back.
This is the Reardon Roundtable with your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
One more segment to go here on the Reardon Roundtable. We are joined in the studio on this Friday afternoon by Jay Duker, Illinois Congressman Roddy Davis, and the one, the only, Brian Wobbe. Jane, weren't you predicting a couple of weeks ago that Governor Greitens wouldn't survive all this and he'd be gone? What happened to all that? What happened to all those other stories that were lingering that were going to break and push him out of office? What happened? What happened with
because
that?
Because guys wake up one day and they tape women to exercise machines on their first date. Happened before.
Yeah, and,
right, that's how that rolls.
Okay, and women who get taped to exercise machines who cry to their ex-husbands go back that same day for more, right?
Well, that's not really the fact.
That's a quality issue I can't talk about.
I mean, look, he says there's nothing left, and I guess he'll find out. So, and he's had to spend New Missouri had to put up $600,000 of ads to try to rehabilitate this guy.
Who's New Missouri?
Oh no, that's the Dark Money Pack.
Oh, okay, the Dark Money Pack.
So the Dark Money Pack is spending $600,000 to try to rehabilitate this guy. You're not winning if you have to spend $600,000 a year
level.
In.
Well, I think he might be done at the national level, but you guys wrote him off a few weeks ago.
Absolutely. Well, aspirations are over.
But Brian, the focus of my question is you had him written off, and I honestly didn't know, and maybe this will end up turning into something else. I'm not trying to get cocky. All I'm saying is you guys thought he was done 2 weeks ago, and that hasn't happened. There hasn't been one news story.
You know who told me that? Who said he was done? Mm-hmm. Republicans in Jefferson City.
Exactly, because they're the ones that hate him more than the Democrats.
I mean, come on.
Which is funny, but no, I think if anything else comes out on this guy, he is cooked.
Speaking of controversies along those lines, Jane and I are going to spend some time with a reporter down in Nashville in the next hour because the mayor of Nashville, a Democrat, has gotten into some trouble with her security detail. Have you heard about this story?
Oh, no, tell.
Oh, this is a good one. The agent that is assigned as her security detail and her decided to go on several trips alone together at taxpayers' expense, and he billed a lot of overtime. So we're going to get into that in the next hour. Congressman Davis, I spent some time yesterday on the phone exclusively here on KMOX with Scott Pruitt, the EPA administrator, and was very impressed with him when I spoke with him last May, and he made the commitment to me at that time. And I said I was going to hold his feet to the fire on the Westlake landfill issue. They came back with a plan to clean up that site yesterday, and I think it's another in a long list of accomplishments at the EPA for Scott Pruitt. But these guys will find some way to rain on this parade, too. This good news that we have finally, after decades, a resolution to clean up this site.
You know, this is a great day for St. Louis. It's moving forward on a Superfund project that got named to the Superfund list, in the early 90s?
It may be longer than that.
Maybe even longer than that. But Scott Pruitt gets a lot of flack, but he is not afraid to make decisions. He's done this in my district, making sure that we continued a project that had some unintended extra asbestos removal at a big Pillsbury plant in Springfield, Illinois. I talked to him, I talked to his staff, and they realized spending a couple hundred thousand extra now instead of closing the project down and reopening it would save taxpayer dollars. That's the type of public servant we need, is people like Scott Pruitt that are going to do what's best for the American taxpayer.
Don't you think this is a good thing, Jane?
No, and it's a good start because these people have been screaming and screaming and screaming for a long time. And look, I don't think this is the full-on fix, but it's better than having done nothing. I do think that these people are entitled to some relief, and it's dangerous. And, you know, sometimes science doesn't catch up or medicine doesn't catch up. And so we look back now and say, how could we not have known?
I can't believe it's taken this long to even get to this point. And here's the sad part about it. Even if this, and I agree, I'd like for them to go further. If they could go further, there are reasons. He offered these yesterday to do the plan that they're looking at right now, digging partially into the surface and then capping the level below 8 feet or whatever, just because of a variety of reasons. And Scott explained this yesterday. My concern would be, and this is no fallout maybe of the EPA's, but this thing's going to probably drag out more. I mean, it's not starting today. The cleanup is not starting today. There's going to be lawsuits and attempt to stop probably on Republic's willingness to do this and spend the money. So I'm hoping that at least they can move forward to and listen to the EPA.
This has always been about money. And one thing I will say.
And it shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, the problem is because, well, it should be about health because it was the federal government that put it here. But that's the thing. The federal government put it there. Republic inherited it. I get it. And you become responsible when you take that stuff over. That's the way it works. But the federal government did this. They ought to clean it up. And so I hope this is the right answer. I don't want to be delusional that, you know, this is some scary stuff. And but you know what? We have to start somewhere. And so at least they're doing that. And they're doing it Superfund so that they can get Republic to pay. If it actually went to Fusarap and it was like sort of the radioactive waste, then the federal government would have to pay it. So this is a way for the federal government to start something and make Republic pay for it.
But do you expect the Republic's going to just sit back and say, okay, we've been talking about this for a while, we're just going to accept this from the EPA?
No,
and move
I
forward.
Don't. Because in their defense, I mean, I think they are a in the property chain and they have to contribute something. I think that's probably fair. But I do think when this is all said and done, this was Mallinckrodt. This was federal government waste, and the federal government.
But it was Mallinckrodt waste. It wasn't really federal government waste. They were a contractor for the federal government.
Right. Right. So, but the federal government said they could do what they did, and so this was a federal project. So, you know, I have some sympathy for the fact that
I thought you cared about the deficit.
I understand.
I got to tell you what, there are some things we should borrow money for, and protecting people and the environment are one of those.
I actually agree with you on that.
And, I agree. And that's why
I think
this project's
anything
good.
You can do to move this thing
start. I
as
hope
fast
they don't open
possible.
Up Pandora's box and it goes ugly, but you have to start. There's no way.
My guess is that it's going to get ugly before it all gets settled. Since it's Super Bowl weekend, Jane Duker, Congressman Rodney Davis, Brian Wabi, we're going to spend some time on this chain with Mitch Holthus in the next hour. But there was a bill that has been unveiled in Rodney's state of Illinois called the Dave Duerson Act to prevent CTE. It's named for the Chicago Bears defensive back who was diagnosed with chronic traumatic encephalopathy after he killed himself when he was just 50 years old. It's a terrible, terrible story. He shot himself specifically in the chest so his brain could be studied, and the bill would ban football for children, tackle football for. And just let me be clear, organized tackle. So you're playing in the yard with your friends or something, they're not going to come down and slap the cuffs on you. Although I wouldn't put past the people in Illinois, Ronnie. Younger than 12 years old, you cannot play organized tackle football. Jane, I'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Is this the nanny state or is it a smart move for public safety?
I mean, I'm sort of torn, but, you know, look, the evidence is coming in at how dangerous football is to the brains. And I am worried about that. I do think that, you know, I think parents have to make the decision for their kids. I mean, so there's a lot of...
Yeah, but this is the state of Illinois trying to make that decision.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's why there's part of me that's like, look, I mean, if you want to say, well, football's dangerous, so is riding a bike, so is, you know, where do you draw the line? But I do think the evidence is in. I would probably rather spend money in enforcement and educating people about the issues rather than trying to say, okay, we're just going to not let anybody play football. I mean, you know...
Rodney, nanny state or not?
What's this look like?
Oh,
does he look like 12-year-olds? I'm showing you a picture.
Yep.
Of me coaching youth football.
Oh, really?
I coached my kids and their teammates from kindergarten through eighth grade. Mm-hmm. You teach a kid how to tackle correctly. You teach a kid to wear the proper equipment. Football is less dangerous than playing outside in your backyard when you're throwing each other's head on the ground in the middle of winter like we used to do. Maybe that's what made me a Republican. I hit my head too many times.
But, well, I don't want to confirm that. God
all,
bless you.
In all seriousness, though, there is so much new technology out there. Sean Springs, number one draft pick, Seattle Seahawks, get a chance to work with him on numerous occasions. He's working with helmet manufacturers to create even safer helmets.
Is Schutt in your district?
Schutt is in my district. Yeah. And the helmet technology that we have today versus what I started with and Dave Durison started with years ago playing is so much better. And I'm not saying football is ever going to be the safest sport, but neither is soccer. Neither is basketball, neither is hockey. Frankly, neither is baseball. We have got to come to the conclusion that we're going to put our kids out there to play these athletic events. And to would I then be held accountable for having coached these kids if they banned football?
Well, I think one concern that I would have, and I do have some you know genuine concerns, and if I had a 3-year-old boy instead of a 3-year-old girl right now, my other kids are older, I don't know if I would allow him, or I guess she could play football too, to play tackle football. But I think you could also make the case, and I don't know what the...
But that's your choice.
It is my choice. But couldn't you say, look, before the age of 12, and I know there's a risk because these are young brains, but I think that the real jeopardy and risks come to the older kids when you're in high school football and you're tackling at those speeds and bigger.
Or pro.
Well, clearly, when you get to that level.
Have you ever seen pro football up close?
I have. I've been on the sideline.
It is absolutely.
It's brutal.
Yeah. I mean, and they're fast and they're big and they hit and they.
Yes.
And I played, and look, and I played football in high school and I loved it. It was great. But I my son, his school didn't offer high school football. He would not have played.
My sons play. They play right now, and they played since they were in kindergarten. And I will tell you, football is a sport that teaches teamwork. It teaches maturity.
Right.
It teaches personal responsibility because you're responsible for your teammate. And when taught to play correctly, it is, again, no dangerous than any other sport. If you guys are on Twitter, which I know you are because I follow y'all, I would urge you to follow Super 70 Sports. I'm not going to give them a plug, but when you see them, what he does, the guy who runs that account, he puts up all of the park equipment that all of us played on as kids. And if you look at some of that equipment compared to what we have today,
we're surprised we're still alive.
Jane specifically took a jerk to the skull. There's no doubt in my mind. By the way, as we wrap up here, Rodney, I would say it wasn't the head injuries that made you a Republican. It was the head injuries that made you an Oakland Raiders fan. We'll just leave it at that. Thank you for wearing the Chiefs jersey. Thanks for coming in. Brian Wobbe, Pet Parade this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Mardi Gras next weekend. Great to see you. Jane Duker's going to hang out. We're coming back with more second hour on The Mark Reardon Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.